Hi, folks. Thank you. So my name is Alexander Soto. I go by Alex. I'm the founder of Modos. And yeah, so we're building an ecosystem of open hardware e-ink devices. There's a box of a PCB, red one, green one, and also our prototype or our paper monitor. Please don't plug it in. If you're interested, I can show a little demo in the back. And let's get it all back. I love to get my PCBs back and the monitor and such. But yeah, trust y'all. But yeah, please check it out, and I'll do a little bit of a live demo a little bit later. We'll do it here, but I think it'll be a little bit complex. But yeah, please pass it around and check it out. So a little bit of backstory. In 2021, sort of the height of the pandemic during lockdown, my bedroom kind of transformed into a workspace. And just from the morning till night, I was just constantly being distracted, having to refocus and then be distracted again. And yeah, being in front of a computer for 13 hours, it got to the point where like the device that I'm using to be able to do my work is also the same thing that I use for leisure, is the same thing that I use for entertainment. So, you know, can we have technology that is different, that is more calm, that is more humane, that's more aligned with like our well-being? Modos. So our focus is the reimagining personal computing with a focus on creating calm, inclusive, and humane technology. We'll upload the slides, but here we have two links to some earlier videos that where we show off our electrophoretic display controller. Runs at about 60 hertz, open hardware, uses an FPGA. Getting a bit more into the details of the hardware specs in a little bit. And this is the team that sort of turned that vision into reality. So Wenting has been the lead designer of creating the electrophoretic display controller. He's been working on it for quite some time, and gonna wait a little bit till we get the whole image back on the screen. Vamos a ver, vamos a ver. Hola. Oh no. Hey! Thank you. Awesome.
His presentation is read by design. You didn't believe me.
So recap. Wenting has led the design of our electrophoretic display controller. Brody has worked in particularly on the CAD manufacturing chassis. Michael have had many conversations thinking about what would it look like to create a software architecture, a software stack that's tailored for e-ink, has like a medium. And I'm kind of the guy that does everything in between and kind of supports everyone, thinks about this nonstop, and, well, tries to make things happen. All right, so, and lastly, I also want to say thank you to our community and also the Nelnet Foundation. We've had about 300 plus people who want to be able to be in our pilot program, about 5,000 people on our mailing list, and also about 3,000 testimonies, and in those testimonies as well, a lot of feedback. Learned a lot, and there's also, I want to say thank you to Nelnet. Nelnet really, we're a Nelnet sponsored project. It looks up under Caster. And thank you for your support, and thank you for helping us really getting to finish our prototype. ¿Qué más? So from the community survey findings, we did a community survey. We're asking folks, what are the particular use cases that they use their computer and or also what they would like to use for the e-ink device. And the overlapping categories were reading, writing, coding, and focused task. And those are the majority of categories that people had mentioned. That I had a general idea. That's what most people would be interested in. But I think where I learned a lot, the takeaway were the sort of same problems that I was experiencing myself with just being distracted, being stuck on the rabbit holes, or having to use a computer for an extended period of time. Kind of got that a lot from different people in the community who also kind of expressed like similar concerns. And then here as well, folks discussing about problems related to like eye strain, people who have tried to use like other solutions and still, filtering glasses and such, but still being a problem. So overall, there's these sort of general categories of one, people who are looking for more of a balanced digital life, sort of reducing screen time on social media, entertainment, unplugging, seeing the sun, being outdoors, staying away from a screen. But also people who are looking for like less visually stimulating digital environments and trying to reduce digital clutter. So that was like one group or one demographic. The other one being folks who experience some form of visual impairment or maybe some form of like light sensitivity. For example, I always mention this. I need to look up the specific person who filled this out, but there was an engineer who was writing on behalf of his wife who was experiencing epilepsy, and she tried all different types of solutions and just is trying to find something so she can be able to interact with her digital devices. And that comment has stayed engraved in my mind and the big motivator for myself. But there are other health issues that people reported, things related to like myopia, epilepsy, light sensitivity, headaches, migraines, traumatic brain injury, and post-concussion syndrome were quite frequent as well, which to me was also very much a surprise. So here's my pitch, I guess you want to look at it. I think there's a need, right? I think there's a need for being able to create technology that like satisfies our essential needs, but also protects our well-being. I think we can maybe redefine the role of our devices to foster more healthier, balanced life. And hopefully with the start of this controllers, with this display controllers, create a new class of devices that are kind of like built from scratch to sort of embody these principles of humane technology, both through hardware and software design. So Alan Kay, people who are really serious about software should make their own hardware. I think hopefully the monitor, I have no idea where the monitor is, but hopefully it's being passed around, people taking a look at it, great. So that's our monitor, that's a newer revision that we have. We built that using our KiCad and also our FreeCAD. We have a bit of a block diagram here for folks. Also, folks want to know a little bit more in details. We recently updated our repository, which has a much more documentation into specifics of how it all works, so you can feel free to take a look at that. I have some excerpts from there as well. And so we're using a Spartan 6 FPGA, Type-C for DisplayPort. We also have a HDMI or DVI video input. Using a Raspberry Pi 2040 for USB communication and upgrading anything related to the firmware and waveforms. And then this is the caster block diagram for our FPGA. Good. Take a look at that. Again, I would redirect folks to take a look at the documentation that we have on our GitHub that goes a bit more in detail than I could possibly do in this one presentation. But some of the features of the display controller is that it works with screens from 6 inches to about 13 inches, works with the sort of black and white electrophoretic displays from E-Ink, also works with color displays and also DES. Really extremely low processing in the video. Didn't show it, but also do a live demo. Very low processing delay. We got 4-level grayscale, 16 as well working. Let's see. Optimized for the 4-level gray label scaling. If you ever use a commercial E-Ink monitor, they have these buttons that are in the front that switches these particular modes. We also have that. I don't know who has the monitor right now, but yeah, in the back. Yeah, in the back, there's like a little button. It's like a little blue button. Doesn't work right now, but No, it's not. It needs to be connected to like a laptop and such. But I'm just saying, in that button, you can cycle through, and it switches between different modes. And the different modes are for the particular use cases. So if you want to be able to focus on typing or reduce input delay, there's a mode for that you press it. Or if you wanted to use it for looking at black-white image and looking at grayscale, it switches. And that's all happening locally through the host software that's on the hardware itself. And a little bit more about how it's driven. I'm not going to go read through all of that. Let's see, how many more slides? Pixels, they're arranged in a 2D array. Refresh rate typically between 50 to 120 hertz. It's a bistable display, so they maintain their state after the electrical field is removed. And the for sort of frame buffer driving mechanism, it uses two frame buffers to determine the pixel colors, and then the pixel color changes between the particular value, 0, 1, and there's also a sort of a global counter of how it's used for the track, for the frame duration. So this is just a little bit of the sort of basics when it comes to like electrophoretic display controller and sort of E-Ink screens in general. Going to create a better version of this. It's a bit more simplified, so I apologize to just sort of make it, So let's see, ¿qué más? Grayscale. So when it comes to grayscale, you're often switching between black and white in order to be able to get that. So you're constantly switching between the, between zeros and one and kind of switching between these particular different modes. And then lastly, so one of the optimizations that we've done is that instead of having one global counter, we allow for individual updating for the region. So we're updating each pixel independently. And we also have this sort of like early cancellation method. Could talk about it more, but just kind of want to leave it there. And I think just the last thing for next steps. So how much time is that? Okay. So for next steps, we have a, so we've been working on this for about 2 years now, and I think we finally have the prototype more or less finished. So we want to be able to do a crowdfunding campaign, most likely on CrowdSupply this year. So there's a link here where it, if you want to be notified when the crowdfunding campaign happens, we can send you an email to be notified. We're also a relatively small team, about 3 or 4 people. There's also a separate link that asks for folks who want to contribute with just various different skills. If you want to be able to support in documentation, in CAD, or getting more involved with the display controller, we have a link there for more information. That pretty much wraps things up. I think I could talk a little bit more, but I'd rather leave room for questions. And that's it.
We have some, okay, let's see. Questions are always right in the middle.
Thanks for the talk. How do you deal with the waveforms being proprietary?
We've generated our own waveforms.
And do you put any work into updating those, improving them?
Yes. Sorry, the question was related to waveforms. And how we generate them. I'll say that we generate the waveforms ourselves, and there's certain similarities or patterns across different displays in regards to different sizes. So we are maintaining and updating the waveforms that we have right now for the 13-inch panel as well, and for the 6-inch panel.
So you focus mainly on the hardware, especially doing focused tasks, for example, requires quite some specialized way of displaying things. Are you also providing some kind of solution for that in software?
Yeah, so the question was related towards hardware that we've been focusing on that, and what would things look like on the software side? We've spent quite a bit of time looking into like what that would look like. One approach that we've looked at is to using Wayland protocols in order to use things related to like damage tracking in order to be able to do partial refreshes. For example, if you have two overlapping windows and you're dragging one window over, it would recognize that this is the area that has changed damage tracking and would only update that particular region rather than doing a whole full refresh. So I think that there are things, for example, that we can use with Wayland and Wayland protocols at the higher level of the software stack that in one way you could look at it is that it abstracts away the idea of waveforms and you let the higher level software stack sort of take care of that with the display manager. So. One of the hopes and dreams is that we can work with SourceUp, with Drew Duvall and a few other folks, raise enough funding for that to be able to work with them to have that be part of something we can do, which would allow us to, one, create applications that are native for e-ink and also backwards compatibility.
Yeah, just wondering.
I have no... Yes. Oh, hi. Sorry. I am so sorry. Yes, hi.
Yes. Why did you choose the Spartan 6 as a platform, since it's, well, quite old by now?
It's what we were most familiar with and what we had access to and experience. The question was, why did we choose Spartan 6? It's what we were most familiar with and had experience using. There's another gentleman, another person from Nelnet, Victor Suarez, who is also interested in porting our work into other FPGAs. So I think it's not tied to Spartan 6, it's just where we started.
Yeah, so I think it's regarding the FPGA only. So mm-hmm. You have plans to upgrade to let's say, FPGAs that are faster? Or this was just the original decision was just because you were more hands-on, that particular family of FPGA?
Yeah, so the question is related to the FPGAs, if we plan to use more modern ones. So yeah, it goes back. That was the one we're most familiar with, and that's the one that we're going to keep using. Maybe in some future we'll switch to another one. Spartan 6 FPGA is doing the job right now. People are more welcome to contribute and port it to other FPGAs. That's one way, so I would welcome that as well.